Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many images that we have in our mind of who Jesus is for us. There's the Good Shepherd, one of the most famous ones. Mason preached on Good Shepherd Sunday not too long ago, and I believe he had you focus on the stained glass windows. Jesus is our Good Shepherd because the Bible says so, Psalm 23 and John 10. He is the shepherd who feeds his sheep, who leads them to green pastures and still waters. Then there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John points to Jesus and calls him that. Jesus, a lamb going to slaughter for the sins of the world. What a beautiful image that is. This past Thursday was Ascension Day. And today we even hear it in our readings in the hymn we just sang, that Jesus is a king. We also celebrate that at Advent and Christmas. Jesus is a king, and now as he has ascended into the right hand of God the Father, he reigns over all creation. There are many images of Jesus in the Bible, many comforting images. Then there's images that we sort of make up. They are based on Scripture, but we see these images in art. Somebody has taken a piece of Scripture and sort of made it into their art piece. You know that Jesus with a big smile on his face, holding a bunch of kids on his lap like Santa Claus. Now, it's in Scripture. Jesus beckoned the little children to come to him. And so we can imagine he had a big smile on his face as he had those children sit on his lap. There's the calm, teaching, wise Jesus. Jesus did much teaching, so that's obviously plausible as well to have a picture of him being the calm teacher. Then there's this strong, firm Jesus walking on the water, calming storms and waves. There's victorious, triumphant Jesus standing by the open tomb. We have a picture of that on the stained glass window. Jesus has one hand on the tomb, and he's looking out victoriously to the open. Then there's the weeping Jesus that is kneeling before Lazarus' tomb. The Bible does say that Jesus wept, and so we can relate to that Jesus. Then there's the laughing Jesus. Not sure what Bible passage says Jesus laughed, although he was fully human, and we can sense that he had quite a sense of humor, so I guess we can picture him laughing, and we relate to that picture. Today I'd like to have us meditate on another image of Jesus, one that we usually do not associate with Jesus, but an image that Jesus himself uses for himself. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus depicts himself as a hen, a mother hen, who gathers his chicks under his wings. And he does this speaking to the people who reject him, who don't believe in him. So, if he would call himself a mother hen who desires to gather his chicks, to the people who reject him and would eventually crucify him, how much more would he want us, his church today, to depict him as a mother hen who gathers his chicks under his wings? So first of all, have you ever seen a work of art depicting Jesus as a mother hen? I haven't. Why not? Well, I guess chickens and hens aren't as comforting as a strapping shepherd, or as moving as a slaughtered lamb to sacrifice, or as romantic and powerful as a mighty king ruling on my behalf. Jesus as a mother hen is not as emotionally relevant as a Jesus weeping, laughing, or calmly teaching. And yet Jesus says he wanted Jerusalem to think of him as their mother hen. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've desired to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks. When we think of Jesus as a mother hen, we should not laugh. It's no trivial image. Have you ever seen a bird, a little bird, take care of its little babies, its young? They're quite vicious. Many times I've seen little birds attack what could be its prey or people. There is a bird's nest on the church campus down by the overpass. And there's a bird that is protecting its nest. And if you go in that door, I'm sure Carl Sestak knows this. My boys know this. You go down there, that bird will fly at your head with vengeance to protect that nest. I remember not too long ago when Pastor James brought his dog up here. And it was just sort of walking around out by the cross outside. And I don't know if there was a nest out there, but there was a mama bird who was attacking his dog because it was getting too close. And then think of bigger birds. One time, me and my boys, when they were younger, were playing baseball, and one of the boys hit a foul ball. There were some geese around, but we didn't think much of it. When one of the boys went to go get the foul ball, it was by this fowl's egg, a goose. And I've never seen anything more vicious in my life, I don't think. We had to come back and get that foul ball a different time. Likewise, mother hens protect their chicks with great passion, vigilant strength, and dedication. If you don't believe me, Google it or look at the attachment that Lisa put on her Facebook page. You'll be amazed at how mother hens protect their chicks. Likewise, Jesus guards, protects, and cares for his church, for those who believe in him with such passion and vigilance. And we see Jesus doing this today in the gospel lesson appointed for the seventh Sunday of Easter. It depicts the scene where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane in the Gospel of John. In the other Gospels, we know he went to pray to his Father, but we don't hear what the prayer really is, except that Jesus desired at first to have that cup removed, but that he desired more, that the Father's will be done. But here in the Gospel of John, we get to see what Jesus actually prays. And as Jesus prays, we see his mother hen image go into motion. First and foremost, he is the mother hen of the church by going to the Father on behalf of his people. The ones the Father has given to him to watch over, that's who he prays for. He goes to the Father, the creator of all things, and he prays, "Keep them in my word, O Father." The word which created all things, the word that is living, the word that creates faith, the word that brings life and brings it abundantly. He prays to the Father, "Keep them in the word." The words that you gave me and that I gave them so they would know the truth, Jesus says. He doesn't just stop by praying that they would stay in the Word. He then goes to the Father in prayer and acknowledges how he will accomplish all the Father has given him to do. He goes to the Father and he talks about how he will go into death on behalf of his people. "The hour has come," Jesus says. "The hour has come for me to be glorified. Glorify me, Father," he prays. And we see just how he is glorified. Being lifted up, not on a throne of gold, but on a cross of crucifixion. And why? To become that slaughtered lamb. To take the place of the chicks that he so desires to protect. To take the place of the chicks in death. And to protect them from their sin, which will cause their death, and from the satanic kingdom, the devil himself. But then in this prayer, we see something else. He's not just going to accomplish what the Father has sent him to do in death, but he's going to accomplish what the Father has sent him to do in conquering death through the resurrection. Jesus goes up from death into resurrection and goes back to the Father into heaven on the ascension on behalf of his people again, on behalf of his chicks, to guard and protect his chicks. He prays, "I am no longer in the world, O Father, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." Jesus is pointing specifically to his resurrection over death and his eventual ascension to the Father's right hand. And he is pointing to the fact that he's ascending into heaven not to abandon his chicks, but to reign in power and might over his chicks and all of creation. And he does so by sending his Holy Spirit into the world, into his church, into you and me, his chicks, protecting his chicks by the power of his Holy Spirit, and by giving us and keeping us in the name of God. He ends his prayer for his church, for his chicks, by asking the Father to keep them in your name, the name you have given to me. Jesus prays us so that you and I may be one as he and the Father are one. And it is so. Now, as we, Christ's church, look back on history, we see just how he has been a faithful mother hen, gathering and protecting his chicks, gathering and protecting his church through times of great persecution, especially in the first hundreds of years of the church. All the disciples, all the apostles were put to death, except for John. He was exiled until an old age. Not a very fun life. But Christ protected his church and actually grew the church faster than ever through these great persecutions. He also protected the church through times of great war and civil unrest, through times of discord and deception within the church, times of false teaching and false doctrines, times of great disease, disaster, and depression throughout the world. You see, Jesus Christ is like a mother hen, gathering and protecting his chicks, his church. As we sang in the opening hymn, he is the true cornerstone of his church. He has seen the church through many a bad day. He has seen you and me through many a bad day. You are his chicks. That's the good news for today. And he not only desires to gather you, he has gathered you. He has called you by name, by the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you were baptized according to his command. And he has kept you in this name. That's why we begin worship in his name, to remind ourselves that he has kept us in the name. And he has kept us in his word. That's why when we worship, it's all about his word, his life-giving word, which reminds us we are his chicks and he is our God. He has showered upon us his Holy Spirit. He has put his Spirit in you and with you that you may believe that his name is upon you, that you may believe that his words are in you and they are true. Jesus, like a great mother hen, has chased away all of our greatest enemies. He has chased away the powers of your sin, the power of your death, and the satanic kingdom. St. Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion. Well, Jesus has pounced on and crushed that lion to death. He has accomplished all the Father has sent him to do on behalf of you, on behalf of me. He has laid his perfect life down for us and taken it back up again in a glorious resurrection and a wonderful ascension, so that he cannot just spread his wings over you and me, but over all of his entire creation. Victory. That's what he's won, and it's all yours. His kingdom. That's what he gives, and it's all yours. An identity, a beautiful identity as his, chosen by him. It's all yours. And so, as St. Peter in today's epistle lesson calls us to do, we humble ourselves at this time, in this moment of history. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand, or his mighty wings, however you want to think of them. And at the proper time, he will lift us up. We cast all our anxieties on him, because he cares for us. And as we, Christ Church here in St. Peter's, Missouri, as we begin to make plans to reopen the doors and to assemble again, to be gathered again as Christ desires, while there may be fears of the unknown still to come, while there may be sadnesses from the losses experienced, we are the chicks of the mother hen. We, the chicks, gather under the mighty wings of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we with St. Peter will rejoice. We rejoice with his words in our epistle lesson for today. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he himself will restore, he himself will confirm, he himself will strengthen, and he himself will establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all human understanding, guard and protect your human minds till life everlasting. Amen.